Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Then let's try this again. It's 17 minutes past the hour. This is the Horn. Head On RadioNetwork.com is where we live. That's where you go if you want to get into the chat room, into the tab chat room at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com, where you will find hanging out and waiting for you Anatole, Doctor Who, Mighty Mouse, Tim from LA, Waggy, and Texas T. Yes, indeed. Chat room moderator and third stage field navigator Sparky will be along presently. He's out attending to third stage guild navigator duty, and I imagine Lottie may wander in a little bit. My apologies for the tardiness of the beginning of the program, but between internet problems, as in bandwidth problems, you know, nasty stuff, which I sorted out by going to backup. And then the fact that my friend and colleague, Rick Smith, had not relinquished the stream as yet. Well, we weren't able to get started on time, but dang it, we'll get going one way or the other, right? It is, in fact, Friday on the front porch on the Horn. We conclude this week of broadcasting on this seventh day of August, 2015. We are right around, okay, what was it? Where did we wind up last night? We are $264.91 away from our fundraising goal for the evening, $264.91, and the equipment fund just got a huge boost with a challenge from our donor for everybody else to help out as possible. Thank you to Mighty Mouse for sending along a kick to the equipment fund as well. The equipment fund right now stands at about, how far we have to go. We are about, about $2,500 away, I think, but getting closer. Oh, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid in the chat room there. Tim, who are you, Bob Kincaid? Oh, okay, I'm Bob Kincaid. So, you know, the PayPal tab is under, or PayPal is under the Contribute tab at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Mm-hmm. And therein you can leave blank some of the more intrusive fields, like who you work for and why you work for them, and how little they pay, and all of that. Yes, you can leave that blank. And we can, if you want to contribute to the equipment fund, you can just go to PayPal and use my email address, bobkincaid@gmail.com. And you can put a memo in the box that says, for equipment fund. Otherwise, I will probably presume that we're talking about normal operating expenses. But we're off and running at no small amount of Sturm und Drang. Yeah. God, really? Now the microphones? Springs on the gooseneck must be the next to go. Jeez. But I'm looking forward to a rousing Friday on the front porch conversation. Like I said, Sparky will be along in a little bit. Oh, but where to start? Okay, so we're done with the pageant. When's the next one? When do we have to put up with another right-wing pageant? You know what I'd like to hear? See, whatever. I would like... I'd like to see a debate between Bernie Sanders and Dr. Senator Secretary Hillary Clinton and Martin O'Malley and Jim Webb. That's what I'd like to... That matters. Now, granted, I have a feeling Bernie might mop the floor with Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton, but I'd be okay with that, too. Many of us, I suppose, sat and watched the circus yesterday evening, and I don't know that we learned anything. Was there any doubt going in that there were going to be 10 little idiots up on the stage? Because they certainly lived up to billing in that regard. And yes, it was fun to see them snarl and snark and spit and spat at each other. Tim from L.A. says, we learned they're stupid. I don't think we learned that, Tim. I think we knew that going in. And, of course, today on the for-profit media, it's been almost nothing except a debriefing and a deconstruction of what happened. Oh, God, Doctor Who in the chat room says he heard that the first Democratic debate won't be until October on CNN. Really? Chicken noodle news? How delightful. Maybe they can bring Bernie Shaw out of retirement to ask Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton what she would do if Bill were raped. Jeez. And I guess we don't have... When's the next GOP pageant? I'm not sure. I don't know where the circus goes next. But yeah, there was a lot of debriefing and deconstruction and parsing and whatever today, and everybody was making a big deal. And I guess T. Rump threw a fit on is that a word? He threw a twissy, a hissy on Twitter. Yeah, he threw a hissy on Twitter saying that Megyn Kelly had been mean to him. The whole thing was just, it really was. It was wrestling. It was what goes on down to the armory between the Blue Demon and the Red Death every Saturday and Fridays. Right. Although I admit it was a little bit gratifying to see Rand Paul and that thing on his head. And that thing on his head had been styled meticulously. Did you notice that? Yeah. The other thing, and I don't know that we learned this, but the other thing that was obvious out of all of this is that all 10 of them are to one degree or another. What's the word I'm looking for? Oh, liars. Oh, let's see. T. Rump lied about his net worth. Marco Rubio lied about the effect that Dodd-Frank has had on small businesses. Jeb Bush lied twice, claiming he cut taxes in Florida by $19 billion. But that includes federal law-mandated tax cuts to the estate tax. But he took credit anyway. You know, that's the way it is with a Bush. They'll take anything that isn't nailed down, whether it's credit or, the furniture. John Kasich, governor of Ohio, is a liar, too. He claimed that Ohio Medicaid billings are growing at the, one of the lowest rates in the country. However, enrollment growth in Medicaid in Ohio is 16th out of the 30 states that accepted the free money from the Kenyan Muslim Socialist Usurper government. Stand by a minute. I was simply not going to deal with the Electro Voice RE20 going for the rest of the evening. That was a brief technical fix. Scott Walker in Wisconsin says, and this, I actually heard him say this, and I thought, your nose would be growing. Yeah. He said Wisconsin had more than made up for job losses from the recession. The state has gained only 4,000 jobs, not the tens of thousands he claimed. Right. And then there's pastor, brother, governor, minister, diabetes snake oil salesman Mike Huckabee, who was not asked about his diabetes snake oil selling. Wonder how that escaped the journalistic whizzes at Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda. But he said that the Kenyan Muslim socialist usurper had robbed Medicare of $700 billion. Yeah, of course that's not true because, well, Mike Huckabee is, that word keeps escaping, a liar. Yeah, he's a good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered liar. And the $700 billion is actually a reduction in future growth of spending over the next 10 years or something. Our buddy the Angry Indian notes, I decided to save myself from worsening my ulcer by not watching the GOP act out like angry Klansmen needing a tailor to mend their ripped hoods. I also wanted to avoid having to endure Uncle Ben Carson do monkey shines on international news media, which Fox Neon News isn't, in hopes of moving on up in the white racist pecking order of acceptable Negroes that will never scare the extant system into doing the right thing. Yeah, Ben Carson was a laugh riot, too. Interestingly, because I didn't see much of it, but interestingly, over at the kiddie table debate, there was no audience for that. By the way, they were just talking to a bunch of cameras. Apparently, they tanked Piyush Jindal right before he even got to answer a question. Something along the lines of, "Governor Jindal, everybody in Louisiana hates your guts. What makes you think America would like you any better?" And yes, there seems to be some level of consensus that Carly Farina was, or let's just call her Carly Cream of Wheat, that Carly Farina was the big winner of the kiddie table debate in her shocking pink neon suit and matching whatever. Do you ever ask yourself the question, what would happen or why can't? I mean, shouldn't we have some degree of uniformity or non-sexism? Let's make them all do their debates in gunny sacks. All those men standing up there in their grays and their dark blues and their charcoal and what have you, and the only thing they can use is a necktie to try to stand out from the crowd, and there's Carly in hot pink. No fair. You couldn't help but look at her. I mean, if there was an audience. And if she gets to come up from the minor leagues for one, if her numbers rise enough that she gets to come up from the minor leagues in one of the next pageants, what, chartreuse? All right. But as all of this went on, news broke immediately thereafter about Chuck Schumer. Senator Charles Schumer, Democrat from New York, has declared that he will oppose the multi-nation agreement with Iran to try to forestall Iran getting a nuclear weapon. Now, if you bothered to read the New York Times analysis of it, there's a lot of hemming and hawing and talking about his constituency in New York, yada, 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 blather, 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 when I think in the final analysis it's much simpler. The check cleared. Hey, did that big old money check from AIPAC clear?
Yeah, boss.
Oh, good. We oppose the agreement then, don't we? Absolutely. Frankly, I find that a little bit disturbing. Insofar as, well, Charles Schumer, after the 2016 elections, will probably be the, if the Democrats remain in the minority in the Senate minority leader, he'll be the majority leader if the Senate majority is handed back to the Democrats, which I doubt. And he takes his marching orders more often from Bibi Netanyahu than he does from, you know, Democrats. Because I don't think Bibi's a Democrat, do you? You might recall that in the past, Chuck Schumer tried to get Jonathan Pollard released from prison earlier.
Mm-hmm.
This is not, of course, the first time that a member of the United States Senate has potentially caused grievous harm to the foreign policy of the United States. See, here's the important part. The Republicans don't have enough votes in the Senate to overcome a filibuster by those who would support the agreement. Therefore, they probably, on their own, could not stop this agreement from going forward. But with a few turncoat Democrats, that might change. And apparently, Senator Charles Schumer of New York wants to be one of those turncoat Democrats. Lord, wouldn't it be nice if we had a Democratic Party that had Democrats in it? Yeah, I know. Historically speaking, though, what I was immediately reminded of course, is not in the modern era, because I'm a little history nerd. I was thinking about a Maine senator, a senator from Maine, by the name of Henry Cabot Lodge. And I was thinking of a president of the United States who was sort of an academic and rather cool and, you know, didn't carry on and fuss and holler and hoot around a lot. I'm talking about Woodrow Wilson, elected in 1916 to a second term in the White House on the platform of "he kept us out of war," who then promptly immersed us into the First World War. And in the ashes, or from the ashes, of the First World War, came the idea of a global community, a global body that would work to prevent anything like the First World War, which Woodrow Wilson had described as a war to make the world safe for democracy, from ever happening again. The name of that body was to be the League of Nations. And there were treaties and multilateral agreements and everything that went with it. And all Woodrow Wilson had to do was get it through the Senate. But Henry Cabot Lodge of Maine was a petty and vindictive old man, jealous of his own power, who was deeply offended that Woodrow Wilson did not come and kiss his ring as regards the treaty for the League of Nations. Now, granted, Europe was in no shape to start another war anytime soon, depending on how one defines that word, soon. In the aftermath of the First World War, an entire generation had been killed off. Another generation would have to be raised up and made ready to march into the reign of lead and steel and grim, bloody death. But with the United States on board and all of its newfound power, because the close of the First World War found the United States decidedly the winnerest of the winners, because after all, we had sold arms to both sides before we got in it. Not too long after, when Warren Gamaliel Harding was elected president in 1920 and then kicked the bucket and turned it over to Calvin Coolidge, Coolidge would say, "The business of America is business." They called him Silent Cal. But he was right in that regard, and I maintain to this day that the business of America is business should replace In God We Trust on the currency. It is much more an accurate description of a national motto. I was thinking about that earlier today when I was reading about all the stuff and all the logistical support that we gave to Iraq during the Iran-Iraq War. Because I wanted specifically to find out who started, because I had forgotten. I wanted to find out who had started the Iran-Iraq War. Hint, it wasn't Iran. Iran hasn't started a war in over 400 years. You can even argue that they didn't start the war that the Greeks made with them. The Greeks were the terrorists there. The insurgents, if you will. But the United States gave tremendous support to Iraq in the Iran-Iraq War. And it wound up in a stalemate. Most people don't really know what a horror that thing was. The group headed by Germany in the First World War, the Iraqis, chose to use chemical weapons in the Iran-Iraq War. Where would they get those? They bought them from Donald Rumsfeld. You remember the photograph of Donald shaking hands with a different Donald, not the Donald, just Donald, Donald Rumsfeld, shaking hands with Saddam Hussein and grinning like a fox eating shit out of a wire brush. You remember that, of course. But Iraq was the aggressor. But never mind. I was talking about the League of... Anyway, so Woodrow Wilson brought the League of Nations Treaty home and tried to sell the American people on it and the Senate of the United States, and Henry Cabot Lodge declared that it was no good for America, American sovereignty, yada, yada, blah, blah. And the League of Nations treaty failed in the United States Senate. And out of the failure of the League of Nations, well, one could argue that Henry Cabot Lodge was midwife to the birth of the Second World War and all of its myriad horrors. Not the little guy with the Charlie Chaplin mustache, but Henry Cabot Lodge kept the world from standing together to prevent the rise of another militaristic effort to seize control of Europe. And, of course, the Japanese effort to seize control of mainland China. So instead of the First World War making the world safe for democracy, it made the world safe for fascism, thanks in part, large part, to Henry Cabot Lodge. Enter Charles Schumer. Because it is it's ironic, I suppose, that about 96 years after Henry Cabot Lodge tanked the League of Nations Treaty, Senator Charles Schumer, on orders from a foreign power, foreign nation, is going to try to tank an agreement upon which the futures of tens and perhaps hundreds of thousands, perhaps millions of American youth's lives hang. And Charles Schumer has just told them to go hang. Because a vote, again, I'm convinced, I've read what I can read of it, I'm convinced that a vote against this agreement is a vote for war. Especially if, heaven forfend, a Republican gets into the White House and has a Republican Senate and a Republican House. It will be all but certain. By the time Barack Obama leaves office, the economy will not be robust. It will not be percolating along like the economic expansion of the 1990s, but some of that was blue smoke and mirrors now, wasn't it? But it will be healthy enough to ramp up the and pour the public treasury into the armaments industry. What is it, about $1 million a pop for a Tomahawk cruise missile? That's a lot of Tomahawk cruise missiles. And God knows it costs a lot of money to build fighter bomber jets. Costs a good bit of money to train a soldier. And as far as I'm concerned, Charles Schumer is a bloodthirsty warmonger. Just like his boss, Bibi Netanyahu. Shortly before Schumer made his announcement, the junior senator from New York, Kirsten Gillibrand, had announced that she would support the agreement. Now, does that mean that this is all wrestling? Is this all a dumb show? Some are saying that this signals this signals the fact that the agreement is safe, that the Republicans will not be able to tank it, and therefore Schumer has been given the go-ahead to make a safe vote so that he can make his paymasters at AIPAC happy. Or maybe his other controllers, the folks at Wall Street, maybe they want a war. Maybe that would be good for business. General Dynamics stock went up 222% on the news of the bombing of Tehran today. You know how it goes. Move On jumped out there, though. Move On didn't take too kindly to Senator Schumer's announcement. I got their blast email a little bit earlier. And they wrote, Ilya, Joan, Nick, Steven, and the rest of the team wrote, Dear Move On member, we could be starting down the path to a new war in the Middle East, and New York Democratic Senator Chuck Schumer is to blame. This isn't hyperbole. It's a message to all Democrats in Congress who would dare sabotage diplomacy. Please read on. Okay. Pretty stern words from Move On, isn't it? According to breaking news reports, Senator Schumer has declared his public opposition to the Iran deal negotiated by the United States and five other world powers. A solid and verifiable diplomatic agreement that is the only way other than war to cut off Iran's pathway to a nuclear weapon. So far, so good. That's all true. Republicans, like those in last night's 10-ring circus of a debate, come on, guys, you don't have to pay me if you refer to them as the 10 little idiots. It's okay. Have made defeating the Obama administration's Iran deal their top priority. But they can only prevail if Democrats join them. And make no mistake, the alternative to the Iran deal is war. Still no issues. They're still being pretty factual. It's outrageous that Senator Schumer, who's likely to be the next leader of the Senate Democrats, that's all too true, too, would make this dangerous move. And this is all in bold, so. Any Democrat considering joining Senator Schumer must also be held accountable and must know that he or she, too, will pay a steep political price for attempting to sabotage the Iran deal. That's why Move On members are pushing forward with an unprecedented donor strike. I see. We're going to hit Chuck Schumer where he lives, right in the wallet. Because he might have gotten a nice paycheck from AIPAC, or he might be going to get one, or maybe it cleared, who knows. But that won't make up for all the $5 and $10 that come from all those Move On members now, will it? Good thinking, Move On. To get individual donors to pledge to withhold a total of $10 million in donations from any Democrat who joins Senator Schumer in opposing the historic Iran deal and succeeds in sabotaging diplomacy, as well as from any party committee that supports it. What? Huh? Because I'm a longtime reader of words, and that doesn't say withhold donations from Chuck Schumer. It says withhold donations from anybody who sides with Chuck Schumer. But Move On's going to give Chuck Schumer a cookie? What? That's a little disturbing. Any Democrat who dares to join Senator Schumer must see immediately that Move On members will fight, not just with our calls to Congress, our petitions, and our rallies, but with our checkbooks and our credit cards. Can you pledge to withhold your contributions from pro-war Democrats who undermine President Obama's historic deal as part of our public and sustained rebuke of Senator Schumer's actions? I don't think they're rebuking Senator Schumer here, unless I'm just reading words poorly this evening. And I promise, I swear I have not put the tequila in the swirly straw in the tequila, or for that matter, the tequila in me. Yet. The hell is this? Remember, Senator Schumer has been wrong before. He voted to give President George W. Bush the authority to start the Iraq War. That he did. And it was good for business. And it was also approved of by the folks there at Get Out. Yeah. That tragic mistake alone should have been enough for the senator. When America went to war in Iraq, it cost us more than $2 trillion. Thousands of Americans died and tens of thousands were wounded, and at least 500,000 Iraqis were killed. I always love the fact that that's an afterthought. And it's probably closer to 1 million, according to that Johns Hopkins study, and that was by October 2004. Huh. So, the hell is this? I had read in a, I think it was in the New York Times story, move on, members have threatened to withhold donations from Senator Schumer. No, they haven't! Apparently it's okay for move on members to go ahead and send money to Senator Schumer, but it's that anybody that sides with him who's a Democrat, that person, oh, they're gonna pay. The hell does that mean? Steve in New York City, subject line, Bob, yes, I know, Ron has it copyrighted. Regarding Schumer, it boils down to this. Schumer is a Wall Street whore, not a slut. Whores get paid. And money is what he's all about. Defense contractors, stock prices, and Wall Street bankers. I've never been able to stand this disgusting and putrid loudmouth. Oh, don't undersell AIPAC's influence, Steve. Steve says, sorry, when I write too much. If it were any other person, I could respect this position. However, I know Schumer's history, which is nothing but money. Good evening, Luda, and thank you for letting me know that we're up and running on TuneIn. Much obliged. Marty reminds us that the Ferengi rule of acquisition number 34 is war is good for business. Marty asks, doesn't Boeing make the Tomahawk missile? Not sure. He said, of course, World War I was also known at one time as the war to end all wars. Well, you know, it might have been had not Chuck Schumer's historical predecessor, Henry Cabot Lodge, tanked the League of Nations. You'll notice we have not had a world war for all the hell that the United Nations catches. You'll notice we have not had anything blow up into a world war since its institution. Thank you, Randy, for letting me know that we're reaching, getting through. So we've got those two things to consider as we move through the evening. I guess move on is keeping its powder dry? Is that what I'm supposed to take away from this? I don't know. So we will be getting the Horn Malloy Skype chat group fired up in a little bit as soon as Sparky returns to the ranch once he's done folding space. In the interim, though, I think maybe I'll take a little break. Remember, we're trying to raise $264.91 this evening. $264.91. Please make a note of it. That's 26.49 people at $10, or 10 people at $26.49. That's probably easier than rounding up 0.49 of a person. Right?
Yeah.
So, like I said, a little bit of a break, and then we got all kinds of evilness, wickedness, hatefulness.
Oh, look, Alex Jones
is in the mix. My throat already hurts. Again, a reminder, if you've never participated in the Horn Molloy Skype chat group, you are welcome so to do. All you have to do is send a contact request on Skype to Sparky Dunk, SparkyDunc, Sparky Dunk, and you will be part of the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable this evening when it rolls around. Mm-hmm. Okay, then. Break time. This is listener-supported conversation radio. This is The Horn. Yeah, I'm Bob Kincaid.
Spread out in a hall of a sign. Every single nationality and principality have come for a piece of the pie. I'm sitting in the wreck of Europe with the map of Europe, and the lines and the borders have gone. Gotta do this jigsaw puzzle, it's an awful muddle, but somehow we gotta go on. Lawrence of Arabia is waiting in the wings. He's got some Arab sheikhs and kings, and we're in debt to them somehow. Lawrence of Arabia has got this perfect vision, gonna sell him down the river, there's no time for him now. I think I'm gonna take a piece of Russia and a piece of Germany and give them to Poland again. I'll put together Yugoslavia and Czechoslovakia and hope that is how they'll remain. Then I'll take a bit of Turkey, then a lot of Turkey. This is all quite a heady affair. There's pressure around Iraq to pick up, and there's Churchill's pickup, and we can't leave it up in the air. Woodrow Wilson waves his 14 points around and says the time to act is now, won't get this opportunity again. Woodrow Wilson has his 14 points, but Clemenceau turns to Lloyd George and says, you know that God himself had only 10. Today I'm carried by a league of notions, by a league of emotions I don't think I quite understand. I only know from this commotion there's a chance that we could turn the world in the palm of our hands. I'm carried by a league of notions, by a league of emotions I don't think I quite understand. I only know from this commotion that's a chance that we could turn the world in the palm of our hands. To make it fair, and there must be some reparations too, and don't forget the oil. Today I'm carried by a league of notions, by a league of notions I don't think I quite understand. I only know from this commotion there's a chance that we can turn the world in the palm of our hands. I'm carried by a league of notions, by a league of notions I don't think I quite understand. I only know from those emotions that the chicken that the chicken to the world in the palm of our hands. Axel Biscuit. Whoa.
Stuber is one hell of a guitar player. Al Stewart from an album from the 1990s, the album Between the Wars. And one of my favorite tracks off of that album, League of Notions. Just love me some history in my rock and roll. It is Friday on the Front Porch on the Horn. And, well, I mentioned, before I go any further, I finished reading Go Set a Watchman, the recently published novel by Harper Lee. It's the novel out of which arose To Kill a Mockingbird. And I highly recommend it. I know people are saying that they're disappointed that it turned out that Atticus was as much of a racist as anything. But the book is ever so much more than that. And I think it deserves consideration. And I think it deserves... It's not the book that To Kill a Mockingbird is, but To Kill a Mockingbird... was made what it was because it made white people feel so good that despite the church bombings and the picketing and the vicious hatreds and the murders, that white people were still essentially decent because there were men like Atticus Finch in the world. No. This book deserves reading, and I encourage you to. And if you do, I'd love to engage in a sort of book club discussion of it. I'm hoping our friend Eric will get around to it. With that said, let's delve into a little bit of this and a little bit of that. First of all, just... Keeping up with things from the last year or so. Do you remember the woman who claims she was not a racist but was sending around racist emails? She was the court clerk for Ferguson, Missouri. Marianne Twitty. The Department of Justice reported on the city's miserable failure of an attempt to do anything resembling justice. And part of that was Marianne Twitty, who got canned last May after she got busted for sending around, among other things, an email that showed, among other things, a picture of Ronald Reagan feeding a chimpanzee. It was captioned, "Rare photo of Ronald Reagan babysitting Barack Obama in 1962. Ms. Twitty also sent an email out saying that Obama won't be in office for too much longer because what black man holds a steady job for 4 years? And then there was the photo of bare-breasted Native women dancing in Africa that was captioned Michelle Obama's high school reunion. And, of course, she was a pal of Darren Wilson, who now only shops with like-minded people. I think it, or like skin-toned people, perhaps. She was known for fixing traffic tickets for her buddies. Yeah. Well, guess what? She's got a new job. Yeah. Yeah, she does. She's back on the taxpayer dole. She's got herself a brand new job about, three cities away. Yeah. Working 3 days a week, apparently. For the as a court clerk for Vanita Park, Missouri. A little town not too awfully far from Ferguson. A racist wingnut can always find a soft place to land. But since we're talking briefly about Ferguson, how about this? The police officers group on Facebook put up an image recently. In advance of the first anniversary of the slaughter of Michael Brown, the police officers Facebook, somebody there, put up an image of a plaque, you know, a bronze plaque. It shows an image of Michael Brown wearing his cap and gown. It says, "In memory of Michael O.D. Brown, May 20th, 1996 to August 9th, 2014, there once was a thug named Brown who bum-rushed a cop with a frown. Six bullets later, he met his creator, then his homies burnt down the town." There really is a reason I think people should go and read Go Set a Watchman. Because it is a picture of a community in which folks go about their daily business, and they pretend at not being racists, but when given an opportunity to espouse it, and they think nobody else is listening, or nobody who might be the NAACP, there's a lot of blistering of the NAACP in Go Set a Watchman. Well, then they let their hair down and really say what's on their minds. Four 4,000 people on Facebook. Granted, it's not the 20 million who participated, who commented about the 10 Little Idiots pageant last night. But 4,000 people on Facebook liked the image. The image was shared around Facebook more than 1,700 times. The administrator of the police officer's Facebook page said in response to complaints about that filthy image, "Mike Brown chose his path, one that has led, L-E-A-D, has led this country into complete divisiveness. He's not a martyr. He was a thug who robbed a clerk and then made the adult choice to fight a cop of which he intended to murder. At the end of the day, the person truly responsible for the killing of Mike Brown is Mike Brown himself." And yes, as noted, meanwhile, in a New Yorker magazine profile, Darren Wilson said that he lives in anonymity now, and he only goes to businesses that are frequented by like-minded individuals. Mm-hmm. And that the only restaurants he goes to are restaurants that, and this too is a quote, aren't a mixing pot. In other words, he only goes to restaurants that, I don't know, maybe he has somebody else going, are there any wrong colored people in there? Everybody's right colored? All right, we can go in and sit down and have dinner. Does he go to Mexican restaurants? I'm guessing no. Chinese? Olive Garden! Yeah. Olive Garden is, after all, the Denny's of Italian food. Oh, probably goes to Denny's! Or then again, maybe he's above going to Denny's now that he has a nice, comfortable living provided by, what, GoFundMe, Indiegogo, whatever. Yeah. But there's no doubt, at least in the thin gray settlings that pass for brains between the ears of right-wingers, there's no doubt that white folks are under attack and are being oppressed in America. The greatest country in the world on earth today, now, forever. Right. Just ask Alex Jones. Oh, wrong guy. Kind of forgot to, yeah, turn the music off there, Bob. Yeah. That was definitely not Alex Jones. This, however, is Alex Jones.
When you go see James Bond movies,
yeah,
when you watch silly TV shows from the 60s, like Get Smart,
yeah,
and you see organizations named Spectre or Chaos,
right,
you can see things happening in the real world and make a joke out of it, but it's not funny.
No.
Those films and those comedies are reflecting what really goes on in the real world. Now, we're dubbing what I'm about to break down Operation Chaos.
Wait a damn minute. There really is a place where a guy goes through a door, past another door, seven different kinds of gateways, and then into a phone booth, and he dials the phone, and he falls through the floor of the phone booth. That's real? And he makes calls with his shoe? I mean, we can laugh at him, but that's real. Oh, by the way, number one place for Darren Wilson to go and eat, White Castle. You know it. So there in the thin gray settlings of the paranoid great big lizard brain of Alex Jones, Operation Chaos is underway.
But I bet you my right arm, and it's a safe bet, that with
anybody got a jigsaw? Circular saw? Sledgehammer? No, didn't think so. By the way, linguistically, I just want to point this out for people. I was watching, I forget which network it was earlier today. Oh, I know, it was Mrs. Greenspan Reports on MSNBC. And she was talking to somebody from the Center for American Progress. And I hope I am not being misogynistic, and I hope I am not being unfeminist. I mean, but the woman from the Center for American Progress constantly upspoke. And I don't deliberately try to ignore people, but there's something in my brain that goes click. And just the kissing cousin of upspeak is something called vocal fry. Vocal fry. Men use it, women use it. Women are called out for using it more. I think one of the Kardashians or something vocal fries quite a bit. But if you ever wondered what is vocal fry, Alex Jones is the leading practitioner in the United States of America of vocal fry. So just in case you were wondering why it is that he annoys the daylights out of you, apart from the fact that he's a freaking moron, that's probably part of it.
Are reflecting what really goes on in the real world. Now, we're dubbing what I'm about to break down Operation Chaos, but I bet you my right arm, and it's a safe bet, that within the internal NATO, DARPA, Ford Foundation, Council on Foreign Relations, globalist think tanks, that it's called something like Operation Destabilization or Operation Chaos. Because I've read so many of the other documents, I've covered it in films like The Obama Deception, Fall of the Republic, Endgame, where we get the North American Union minutes when Judicial Watch sued and got them, and they're there saying, we will use crises for stealth integration of the NAU into the Atlantic Treaty and the TPP. That's an eight-year-old film. Now TPP is popular understood to be corporate domination. But a decade ago, 20 years ago, people were not aware of it. So that's the positive news. But what is Operation Chaos? That's our name for it, but that's what it is. A rose is still a rose by any other name. And people need to get their minds wrapped around it. This is planned. And that's why whether it's happening in France or whether it's happening in the UK.
Video moment, dancing about architecture. Why isn't he doing this in his studio? Why is he doing this in his living room? I don't know. And does any of this make sense to anybody? Because I'm kind of struggling here.
Or whether it's happening in Italy, or whether it's happening in Greece, it is the same thing over and over again. The same thing in the U.S. Southwest. And that is the people bomb. The focused masses of 6+ billion third world people that are pouring in and being given economic amnesty as economic refugees and are then being put on welfare, are allowed to have their babies paid for free, are given everything, and then filled full of liberation theology that they deserve everything for free and that the indigenous populations of Europe are bad people that need to turn everything they've got over to them.
This is just a damn rehash of Klan talking points for the last 100 years. Where's his pointy hat? The wrong colors are coming. The wrong colors are coming. They're not as good as us. We're white.
It's wild. So out of my research trip to the UK, to Spain, now to Italy.
Wouldn't you love to have a hidden camera following him on one of his research trips? Yeah, me too. Hey, waiter, bring me another old bottle-o of wine-o. I'm on a research-o trip-o.
What we read in the newspapers is conservatively 5-10 times worse than what we thought. There are more foreigners, it seems like, in Rome and other cities around Rome, same thing with Barcelona and Spain and Valencia, where we traveled, than there are Spanish or there are Italians. And the foreigners are aggressive. They are involved in much of the crime. And they are entitled. Look at this article out of the International New York Times from yesterday. Now, the New York Times itself...
Well, you can't look at it because it's just audio. But you get the point. All those brown people are oppressing the white people. Same stuff, different day. Does this racist, bigoted clown not understand that the essential nature of humanity is to go where they can eat? I mean, there are Syrian refugees trying to get through the channel into England who are doctors, scientists, respected members of the business community in their home country before they were forced to either flee or die. See, pasty-faced, doughy, white Alex Jones does not understand. He has never had a hungry moment in his life. He has never had a mortar round
land 50 yards from where his children were sleeping. Because when that kind of thing happens, one packs up and says, listen, we're leaving it all. Because life itself is more precious than anything we may have acquired in it. Alex Jones has way too much privilege to ever fathom something like that. As our friend in the chat room, Arthur notes, E. Arthur, I know, looks like Arthur to me. Hi, Bob.
Hi.
Wait, you mean people from the third world tend to emigrate to the countries that colonize them or dominated the region economically? Why, yes, as a matter of fact. That's why there is a Turkish community in Germany. That's why there is an Algerian Muslim community in France. That's why there are a lot of Pakistanis in England. Libyans in Italy. That's why people from the global south come to the United States. They get tired of getting screwed by the United States at home, so they figure they'll just get screwed by the United States in the United States. Or that maybe by coming to the United States, they'll stop being screwed. Yeah. Of course, Jones, Klansman that he is, has to refer to people trying to stay alive and going somewhere where maybe people will stop shooting at them. He refers to the refugees as illegals.
The New York Times admits 107,000 illegals they call refugees out of Africa and the Middle East in just the first 6 months of 2015 to one island, Lesbos, where the legend of the beautiful women comes from. And the lesbians are angry, and I don't mean two women together.
Jesus God. Lord Almighty. It's one thing to be mean. It's another thing to be stupid. But you really get something special going on when you get the mean and the stupid in conjunction. And we just seem to have a whole bunch of it. Let's take a minute. I know we just took a break a little bit ago, but we're getting ready to fire up the Horn Malloy Skype chat group. And if you want to join in, I think we've got a pretty good gathering pulled together. If you want to join in the conversation, you are mighty welcome to. Just send, if you've never done it before, just send a contact request on Skype to Sparky Dunk, SparkyDunc, and you'll be part of the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable before you know what happened. Oh, and by the way, there's a challenge out there. Harold, just single-handedly took the equipment fund, took it down by a big margin, and has asked if the Horn family can reach deep into their pockets. Make it so. The equipment fund now stands at about $2,500 or so dollars to go. And we can get there. We also have $264.91 to raise this evening, and we're kind of at zero on that. So either way is a huge help, and thank you. Inexpressible thanks to Harold for that as well.
Thank you very kindly. Thank you. Hopefully we'll get the equipment together and get stuff in process sooner rather than later. I tell you what, let's forego the break. Let's just bring the extraordinary, ordinary roundtable online. Good evening, Sparky.
Hi, Bob. Can you hear me okay?
I hear you great.
Okay, because I have to move my mic up from where it usually is.
Oh, okay.
Time for another set of headsets, I think.
Oh, are the Plantronics going to their long home?
Well, the mic is. I can't have it all the way down. It won't work. But, you know, you flip it up, it shuts it off, and then you pull it down to talk.
Right.
So anyway, I got it about halfway or so, about where my eyeballs should be.
Oh, that's strange. Yeah.
Anyways.
But you sound great.
Sorry I was late.
Oh, no worries. Everything okay out there in the wilds of Northern California?
Oh, yeah. It's just a follow-up appointment with the eye doctor.
Okay, cool. Well, we've got a good group this evening, it looks like. Let's see, the Mouseketeer roll call. In addition to Sparky, we've got Rick and Tracy and Larry, Roger in Minnesota, Tim from L.A. is with us, Roger in Humboldt's with us, as is over on the stress line, Jim, I presume, still in Louisiana stand, correct, Jim?
Yeah, for about till Wednesday coming. It's Wednesday.
Okay, good deal.
And I guess I'll give you a call on Thursday, let you know. Hopefully. Sweet. Looking forward to it, getting out there, see what's going on, kind of get it there before the tourist season. Get some sort of, this comes to work everywhere, particularly like somebody like me who's on disability and part-time work. If you just can't live too high off the hog, you know, like the Buck and Cake style.
We lunch on the Gulfstream 5 quite often.
I know.
Peasant under glass and that sort of thing. You know, the fancy ramen noodles with the flavor boost packet.
Yeah. So that's what's, going on. Looking forward to it. And, I think things are looking good. Got a little money saved up. And we'll see what happens. Looking forward to it.
Indeed. And let's just work through the group. Good evening, Roger. Roger in Humboldt.
Yeah, I'm here. I got a squash update for you.
Oh, cool.
The big one that I can find easily is 19 inches long and 22 inches around.
Good God, that's a monster.
Well, it hasn't stopped growing yet.
Damn. Have you read?
I don't have any idea how much it's going to weigh.
But I mean, did you do any reading up? I mean, is there an optimum harvest size? Have you been able to find anything out?
No, I haven't. In my research, I did find they were crowing about an 18 pounder. Now we did pick off an immature one a couple of nights ago. And cut it up like you would a zucchini, you know, make little rounds out of it, saute it in olive oil and garlic. And it tasted great, but it was a little on the crunchy side. I mean, I hate to say tough, but summer squash, when you make it, it kind of goes soft when you cook it. This one stayed really crisp. And so even though it was cooked, it was still crisp.
Interesting. I mean, so what? How did you cook it?
Oh, we sautéed it in olive oil and garlic.
Oh, I'm sorry. I think you said that. I may have. So one wonders, will there be further experiments? You know, baking, parboiling, that sort of thing.
Oh, I'm going to do the bake number, like you do with an acorn or a butternut. When it when I decide to harvest a big one. But that's going to be 3-4 weeks from now, at least. I want the skins to harden up a little bit. And the sun here the last, oh, I don't know, 4 or 5 days has been red. Today we have a yellow sun, but previously it's been red. And Friday night, Saturday morning, we had an incredible ash fall. Covered everything with an ash coating from the forest fires. But, you know, we're in fine shape. The fires are a long way away from us.
And hopefully they stay that way.
Well, yeah, that'd be nice. I mean, I feel sorry for the people down in Lake County. Something like 53 homes have been lost and 100 outbuildings, and they tried to use Highway 20 as a fire break, and the fire jumped Highway 20. And when you got a major state highway that's, I don't know, 50 feet wide, excuse me, and the fire jumps that, you know it's moving quick, and everything around is just ready to burn at a moment's notice. That's not me.
No, that's Tracy. Thank you, Tracy.
I hung it up. It was going to snap.
Oh, sorry.
Anyhow, an update on today. I shredded up 40 pounds of red cabbage to make sauerkraut, and I'm in the process of canning another 5-gallon bucket, which is another 40 pounds.
Ooh, red cabbage sauerkraut. Damn, that sounds good.
Oh, yeah. Let's see, I'm at, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I'm at 35 or 40 gallons so far this year.
Oh, man.
And it's 40 pounds of cabbage per 5 gallons of sauerkraut.
So do you chop, shred, cut? How do you prefer your kraut?
Oh, I've got a hand crank shredder that I can do 40 pounds of sauerkraut, salted down, packed in a bucket, in 40 minutes.
Nice. Do you do any flavoring, caraway seeds, hot peppers, anything like that?
Nope. 6 tablespoons of salt per 10 pounds of cabbage. Pack it in tight, put a lid on it, put a wine lock on it, and wait a month.
Man, oh, I know that's got to be good.
And right now, I don't know what it is, but this year's crop seems to be sweeter than last year's.
Maybe set aside one of the squash and see how that pickles.
I could do that.
Sorry, that just
I've got all
to
kinds
me.
Of sauerkraut juice that I could take and cut the squash up and put it in a bucket and pour sauerkraut juice on it and let it sit for a month and pull it out and jar it up.
Oh, see, I get the mere mention of kraut juice gets me worked up. Oh, I love kraut juice. God, I love it.
Well, after I decant the 5-gallon bucket, I end up with about a gallon of extra juice. And I save a little bit. Like the red cabbage was a little dry, so I had to add some green cabbage juice to it to top it off, because I'd rather not make up a new brine and all that. But a bartender friend of mine decided she wanted to try some to put in a Bloody Mary mix.
Oh, man.
And I gave her a 0.5-gallon jug, and I haven't seen her. But I'll see her one of these days and find out whether or not she likes it for her Bloody Mary mix. And if she does, I'll just save all my sauerkraut juice and give it to her in the 0.5-gallon jars, and she'll bring my jar back, and I'll fill it up again.
It's got electrolytes.
Oh, it's got probiotics and electrolytes and all kinds of good stuff in it. I mean, you do the research, you drink yourself a couple ounces of sauerkraut juice every morning, and according to what I read, you'll never get sick. It's better than an apple a day.
I was raised on the stuff. I remember being a kid playing football, and it was with the advent of Gatorade. And Gatorade, when it first came out, tasted like crap, and it's still not particularly good. But my mother, being Appalachian in nature, Appalachian in origin, would give me, when I came in all hot and sweaty, she'd give me an ice-cold glass of kraut juice. And even now, even though I take a blood pressure pill every day, I love me some kraut juice. Dear God. Okay, for sale. Well, I just lost several people. Any idea what happened there, Sparky? Wow, I've got noise coming from somebody. Hey, Sparky, are you there? Well, this may be an after effect of the internet problem. Don't know.
I'm still here, Bob.
Oh, okay. Okay. For some reason or another, on my Skype, Tracy is perpetually lit up, but the last I saw was Bob is breaking up, and now I've lost the call again. Oh, this is strange. Hey, Jim. You're not on Skype, so that means you're still here.
Right, I'm still here.
Yeah.
I was just about to break into Donovan's. You got to put on It's Strange, Very Strange, the Donovan song.
Yeah.
You want to sing a couple of verses? Not really.
Yeah, let's both don't sing.
Okay. I'm glad you seconded the
Oh, I could probably raise tonight's fundraising goal by just threatening to sing.
I can do it. Me and Mick Jagger after a couple of jacks and a couple of beers. Find a little dancing.
Oh, this is bizarre. The Skype connection keeps dropping and picking back up and dropping and picking back up.
Oh, Bob.
Is anybody out
there? Hey, Rick.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Is
my internet? My internet keeps dropping or something.
Well, I was wondering if it was on.
Fred is busy.
I was wondering if it was on your end or mine.
And now I can hear. Thank you.
It's my end.
Yeah, I think Fred, the agent, the government agent, was busy, you know, throwing a wrench in Sparky's Skype connection. So, my work here anyway.
Well, there was a guy working on the pole yesterday. But,
Hey, good evening, Rick. How's it going?
Hey, I'm doing fine, Bob. I liked your Alex Jones thing.
It hurts to do that. It really
does. He's always illuminating. You got to have some Friday afternoon fun, you know?
No. Illuminati.
Illuminati, that's right.
and he's not a member. He wants you to know for a fact. He's not part of the Illuminati.
No, of course not. No, he's more of the Translucinati or whatever. Whatever.
Screw it. No, he's a member. He's a member of the Screwlucinati.
There you go.
There's another guy that I listened to once named Peter Santilli, and I don't know where he comes from.
I recognize that name, but oh, by the way, a little bit of breaking news. A jury in Colorado has decided not to subject James Holmes, the man who shot up the Aurora, Colorado movie theater. A jury there has decided not to subject him to horizontal crucifixion.
That's a surprise.
It does surprise.
That guy was gone. Yeah. I mean, how many people did he kill? Like 20? 20 plus?
He will spend the remainder of his life in prison.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. They found him sane enough to convict, but in the final analysis, I thought I'm guessing the jury kind of said, yeah, we convicted him, but we don't want to kill him. That guy's nuts.
Yeah, that could be. That could be. They may have, you know, sort of applied a layperson's understanding of insanity to the sentencing phase as opposed to the guilt determination phase. So, yeah. Well, you know, I guess people are, you know, becoming more open-minded in this country. You know, you don't see as many death sentences as you used to in years past, you know?
Well, it depends on where you are, Rick.
Well, that's true, but I think...
They'll still fry your ass in Texas and Alabama and Mississippi, especially if your melanin content is elevated, shall we say.
Well, yeah, but I think I read an article like that the number of death sentences, I think in 2014 were the lowest they'd been in, like, you know, since 1978 or something like that. I mean, it had been a long time since, you know, there had been so few death sentences across the country anyway. But yeah, regionally, you know, Texas, Florida, you know, Alabama, places like that, you're going to have variations, you know.
You think that could be maybe because of the shortage of the concoction, because the pharmaceutical companies that make it don't want to do it because of the bad PR, you know, et cetera?
Well, I don't know about that, Jim. I think the Supreme Court recently struck down the actually it upheld Oklahoma's three-drug cocktail or whatever they had that they sort of made on their own, and basically said to the defendant, look, you've got to prove, you know, you've got to supply some other method for your death that's safe and effective, essentially. So,
how is that safe and effective? You're killing people. So, effectively killing somebody?
Yeah, well, there is that.
I don't think they quite use that term, but, you know, I guess I'm mischaracterizing what they said, but I mean, effectively, that's what they're.
No, you're not mischaracterizing it because that's basically something they would say. Safe and effectively killing somebody. You're killing somebody safely and effectively.
Well, yeah, I guess Fat Tony would say that, right, Bob?
Yes. Yeah. You mean Uncle Nino? Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, yeah. We gotta be able to kill them, you know, but we want to be able to kill them safely and effectively, you know, with a minimum of you thrashing around there, because you know that gets the liberals all upset, you know. And what you want to do is just, you know, knock them out and have them stop breeding, and then the liberals will look at it and say, see, he's dead. And we say there was nothing cruel nor unusual about that, there was there.
That's right. Shut those liberals up, right?
I'm sitting here, speaking of shutting up liberals, I'm sitting here for whatever the reason. I just picked up some light reading, and I'm reading this. I think I'm halfway through the transcript from last night's debate.
Sweet Jesus. Did you ever get, I have to ask Tracy, did you ever get around to listening to the audio of Officer Troy Milbanks, law enforcement professional?
No. Yesterday was a rough day, and I still had some homework to do. So I was thinking about that on my way home, and I said, only so much bullshit I can listen to, and I try not to bring that into my home because that's my sanctuary, and that's my special, quiet, secret place. And to bring that kind of filth and hatred into my house, no. So I listened to that, because then I had to explain it to Jan. Because she doesn't, you know, she is a child of white privilege, and a lot of this stuff she doesn't get. And so, and when she hears it, then she gets so like, oh my God. And I'm like, baby, this is every day for me, you know, for black people. And so then it's just like, so no. And, you know, the short answer, no, because I hear enough just from the bullshit that I hear on the news without there being, you know, directly talking about black people. Just, you know, when I hear thug, isn't that the go-to word now?
Yeah. And were you,
I say nigga.
Were you tuned in when I made mention of the, online memorial to Michael Brown over at the police officer's Facebook page?
You know what? I didn't hear that, but somebody put it on my... I saw it today, and I put it on my Facebook page. And I in capital letters, which we know, and, you know, when you're when you capitalize anything, when you're typing or texting or whatever, you're yelling. And yes, I typed, seriously? And when they say it's never about race, see, this is when the, you know, when people say, oh, you're just taking it too hard, or you're so, you know, you people are so emotional, and, you know, we didn't mean it that way. That's when, like you said, it's hockey puck and duct tape.
Yep. And, of course, you're, I mean, as we noted last night, Tracy, you're not entirely in the clear here. It won't do us much good on the radio, but there's video out there now of a California police officer who draws his service weapon against a law-abiding citizen who is merely videoing him.
Well, I've had guns drawn on me, drive, you know, taken out the car, handcuffed. I've had that. So I know how that feels, and I know what it looks like, and know what it feels like. And so when, and okay, and this, and see, what tickles me when I think about how long ago that happened to me, I'm like, and this is before I even thought about being political. You know, I've always voted, but I never was a part of a campaign. You know, I would never have ever heard of you guys. And I'm like, oh my God, if it ever comes to a day where I actually have a real forum and people actually get to know who I am, and it kind of frightens me to think, if they fucking with me back then, what the hell would they do to me if I actually, you know, got a radio show, or not even a radio show, but just started blogging on a regular basis, or what have you, because people don't like the truth. And especially when it comes from somebody that looks and sounds like me. I'm having an issue right now. I'm the only black person in my research and design class, and there's six of us in the class. And in the next week or so, we have to come up with a design on our own experiment, And typically, they break us up in three groups of two, right? So 2 weeks ago, so I'm sitting around, because it's so funny, because we have this classroom, and the way it's sectioned off, I sit by myself. None of the white people want to sit next to me, which is fine for me, because I like to spread out anyhow. So when my teacher
around the room. We'd sit next to you, Tracy.
Well, you would. Of course you would, because I'm fucking awesome. And you guys know that. But, so I'm looking around the class, and I'm like, I can't wait to see who's going to want to work with me. So the following week, my teacher announces that someone came to her and asked if we could do two groups of three. And me being me, I said, so who doesn't want to work with me? Oops. Hey, I got a naked, and she's getting in my calf. So I will put you guys on mute so I can tell you what happened after this.
All right. We'll stand by. Well, I mean, we'll keep talking.
Well, I just want to say something about, wait, people don't like the truth here in America. I don't find that to be the case. They're truth hungry. In the past 60 or so, 100, actually more than 100 some odd years, 150, I think since the founding of the country, if you really think about it. That's a little sarcasm.
Understood.
No, they're afraid of the truth, man.
Well,
I mean,
you know, there's that old Bible verse or whatever about the truth will set you free. Not in the 21st
right.
century. There's a lot of people for whom the truth is a bad, bad thing.
Yeah, I guess like that preacher who liked the meth and the gay workers. He didn't want that truth getting out, but somehow it did, huh?
Well, look at, I mean, the Sandra Bland case. And we've got a new one out there. Mercifully, the individual is not dead. This comes out of Harris County, naturally, Texas. And it's the an account of what happened to Charnesia Corley. She's 21 years old. She got pulled over by Harris County Sheriff's deputies who said they smelled the marijuanas. Yeah. And so they made her get out of the car. And then they looked all through her car, didn't find anything. And then he said that he smelled pot in his own car because that's where Charnesia Corley was. So then he called for backup for a female deputy to come along. And in public, the female deputy ordered this woman, remember, suspected of the dire crime of running a stop sign, ordered her out of the car, makes her pull her pants down, and in public does a body cavity search on her. So then she tells me to pull my pants down, Corley told ABC 13. I said, well, ma'am, I don't have any underwear on. She says, well, that doesn't matter. Pull your pants down. And so she's laying down on the ground in the parking lot, and the deputy says, open your legs. She said, I don't want to. She says, well, if you don't open them, I'm going to break them. Charnesia Corley said, all I could do was just lay there. I felt helpless. Eventually, they did find 0.02 ounces of cannabis on her, so she's being arrested for resisting arrest and possession of marijuana.
0.02 ounces? That's not even a joint.
How can you be resisting arrest if you're sitting there buck naked with your legs spread? I mean, come on.
Well, she said she didn't want it.
Well, you know, how's that resisting? Give me a break.
Well, you know that, and Bob knows that, and I know that, and everybody here knows that, but the police in Harris County, which I assume is Houston, anytime you talk back to a police officer, however politely you do so, that's considered resisting arrest these days.
Well, not even these days.
Crazy.
I remember years back when I was a younger lad, I kind of got stopped by a cop and then he let me go and then I was thinking my civil rights had been violated because I was taking a civil liberties course or something and so I went back and the unmitigated audacity to ask him for his badge number and he said, I'll give you my badge number. You're under arrest. And I go, for what? He goes, I'll think of something. And I ended up being arrested for impersonating a police officer.
What?
So
impersonating
that?
A police officer?
What? How?
That's what he charged me with.
But he's still walking free having committed impersonating a human being.
So that was a couple decades ago, but that was down in New Orleans. So, I mean, they can charge you with anything.
By the way, if I've got this correctly, I think 0.02 ounces is somewhere around 0.56 grams.
It's not even a joint.
Not by a long shot.
It's like a bud,
maybe.
Maybe a pouch. Not even a bud.
A very small bud. Not that I would know anything about that.
Or, you know, a roach.
Yeah. Which is a misdemeanor.
Well, thank God they found it.
Imagine if that 0.02 ounces had gotten onto the mean streets of Houston. What about the children?
Oh, they're smoking it right now.
Wow.
And an ACS in public. You need a doctor, a warrant before you start searching anyone for an ACS, and that's
well in
warrant.
California,
you
maybe
need a doctor.
In California.
Yeah, but in public? I mean, this is a medical procedure if you're going to start probing through someone's orifice.
And see, the problem is they can do this because they know that there is the worst thing that's going to happen to the cops is that they're going to get a 3 or 4 week paid vacation.
Oh, not L.A. They'll get fired. But in public?
Well, you know, probably in, what, Harris County, she'll probably get an accommodation, you know, for her good work, her good police work, and netting, you know, 0.02 ounces or whatever the hell it was.
Another. Nuts. Wait a minute. Another victory in the war on drugs. Hey,
where's going to get your reverb, Bob?
Asa actually knows. I got my reverb back.
Cool.
It just didn't work on Skype.
Oh, does it?
Oh, not? That's the problem.
Oh, okay.
No.
But I can, I yeah, we're back to being able to, you know, Voice of God, Wolverines, all that kind of fun stuff. Yeah, I was able to, John Fox and I were able to actually sit down and have a little tech conversation the other night, and lo and behold, there it is, and it wasn't at all complicated.
Awesome.
Asa noticed it a few minutes ago and was absolutely tickled. Brother Deacon Asa said, OMFG, the reverb is back. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
I'm glad to hear the reverb back, too.
Oh, Bob, the thing I was talking about last time I called in a couple of days ago and I was drawing a blank on was the woman, Planned Parenthood thing. I was just going to blank on it, just the absurdity, and that was with the Morning Joe idiotic rant, you know, and I'm going to stay away from Morning Joe, but, I mean, you just watch it, you know, like I said, everybody's sitting there like Morning Joe's the genius, you know, king blah blah blah, he knows everything. Nobody even challenged anymore, because like I said, they usually have those pro arguments, but, yeah, it just kind of infuriated me.
Well, there are some things that even phenobarbital can't work with, Jim, and Morning Joe's one of them.
Point taken.
If it ain't Thorazine, you got no business watching.
Well, sometimes the curiosity gets me going, and but. You're right. It's not worth the time. It really isn't. Even when Morning, when he lets Malika put in a quote unquote an argument, it's assumed if you're watching that Morning Joe, is correct, which is, he's not. He's a chump. And a couple of other expletives, you know.
Well, I forgot to go over and check in on MSNBC. Was the panel really, was the post-debate panel last night really absent Rachel and Chris Hayes?
Yeah, because I saw a little bit of it because what's his name? Another chump, Chris Matthews will probably be the only one who stays. He did a 2-hour show. I didn't watch it all, but, and I've noticed, like, there, I think Bernie's having a big rise, you know, and I'm pro-Bernie, big surprise. I mean, if Hillary gets it, I'll have to vote for her, because I can't, you know, the Republican light or Democratic light is better than full-blown Republican. Not that Hillary's that far from it, unfortunately, but and I'm hoping somehow Bernie can do it. You know, come on, Bernie people, let's go. I've come to the conclusion and, you know, I'm going to have to vote for Hillary if she gets the nomination, even if somehow it's overtly stolen. I'd still have to go with her over the end of any of the idiot 16, 18, whatever the number is, whichever nit we get to, because those are all scary. It's like a David Bowie song, Scary Monsters, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Well, I mean, last night just convinced me that none of, granted, I admit I'd prejudge things a bit, but there's nobody even remotely sane over on that side of the political debate. Every one of them would put this country in the ditch. Even, you know, and Jebya is the moderate, for sake.
Yeah, and it seems like stupid runs real thick in a family. It seems like it's becoming real apparent. I think, you know. W is just like kind of the exception, but it seems not. I mean, does anybody else have any opinion? Did anybody else watch it? I saw just parts of it. W's just, and then what they're proposing. I mean, how they even get 30% of the vote. I can see them getting 10 or 15%, maybe 20. Maybe 30 was the, you know, okay, you're rich, you're making a lot of money, you don't care what happens. But are you that stupid to think that you live, even your money's going to protect you from the downfall of society? I don't think so. I mean, if you think that logically, I don't think so. But I guess they don't think that way, because I've tried talking to you about that before, Bob, and they just seem to go full-blown crazy. They want it all. They want 100% of everything.
Oh, I think that's a pretty concise expression of it.
That's scary, man. That is really freaking scary.
Well, I guess the compassionate conservative highlight of the evening was John Kasich talking about how they've helped out the mentally ill in prison, right? He said I accepted the Medicaid expansion, and that probably disqualifies him from further consideration right there, doesn't it? I mean, he took the Kenyan Muslim usurper care.
Yeah, I don't know, because then I heard, well, this is like some, I was off to, well, I don't have a job right now, I'm getting ridden by votes. So I saw something where they were saying he actually was showing some sort of hope for the right wing, and he might be a contender because of his strong statement about what if his daughter was a lesbian response. You know, something to that effect, And then they were pointing out that, well, like 4 years ago, there was like, when the gay soldier said he was gay and, you know, that he couldn't get a word in edgewise because he was on some sort of, link, and the crowd just went apeshit crazy. Whereas now they were much less melodramatic and angry. They just accepted it. Okay, so Kasich's daughter becomes a lesbian. Okay, we can accept that. That was kind of like the message, I guess. I don't know.
Well, there was the whole I went to a gay wedding passage there, and I can still love somebody, blah, 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 blah. Right. Well, that has been addressed now by the Pope of Protestantism, namely, or I guess the Pope of Evangelical Fundamentalism, to wit, Brian Fisher, the proud son of Stanford, old helmet hair himself, has declared that going to a gay friend's wedding is like attending the grand opening of their new crack house. Because
I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed. If it was like
a gay couple is exactly identical in the mind of this evil bastard, exactly identical to someone who runs a crack house. Got it.
Fine. Yeah. And the thing that cracks me up, irritates me, but that is, I mean, people have a right to believe. Well, I'm a liberal in this, but I'm physically conservative, and it's like, do you really know what you're saying? By physically conservative, or I'm basically conservative, but I'm gay. You know, and it's like, okay, that's fine. And I've seen instances like that where people say that, that's fine. But it's like, do you really know? You're against your own self-interest. You know, if you have any kind of quote-unquote alternative lifestyle and you're with the Republican Party, what are you smoking, you know?
I wonder if Brian Fisher is smoking crack. He seems to be fixated on that, you know? Because his logic is just so twisted.
I think he's got a lifetime supply of the brown acid.
Oh, there you go. Right.
No. Well, yeah. Mine ran out a while back, so.
Yeah, I never found out about the brown stuff, so there you go. I'm glad. It doesn't sound like a good deal.
Don't take the brown acid.
That's right.
Well, with all the earlier...
Who said that? That's
from Woodstock.
Was that Wavy Gravy? Yeah, was that Wavy Gravy or Ken Kesey who said that? Larry would know.
A radio voice guy a long time ago, a lot of years ago, and I forget who he was, but he did wonderful. He was, and I think he went on to do the voice of maybe Ren or Stimpy on TV, but he had this bit where great unknown moments in history or something. Very few people knew that the Three Stooges were at Woodstock, and he had this bit, and I remember hearing it. Of him doing Larry going, hey, you hot-ons, don't take the brown acid. It was good.
Jeez. Yeah, sounds funny.
Yeah, maybe it was Wavy that said that. Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Don't take the brown acid, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they announced it on the stage, right?
Yeah, I think he also said, we have in mind making breakfast for however many thousand people. Anyway, never mind me. I'm not making sense today.
Were you at Woodstock, Larry?
I was much too young. I was only 11. I was going to be 12 years old the next month.
Okay.
I was much too young.
Yeah, you missed it. Yeah, me too.
But it seems that all the Republicans have been in there sort of weird version of an alternate reality for years.
Well, in the case of somebody like Brian Fisher, you know, in all fairness, it is, I think, unfair to mind altering substances to suggest that he's on them, because what fuels this man is the most toxic of all drugs: hate, pure and simple.
Yeah,
and sooner or later. Oh. Hate will completely warp your consciousness. And he is totally, absolutely, undeniably warped.
Yeah. Well, very well said. I mean, the guy is just, you know, it'll just it destroys you. It destroys you from within, you know, from the inside out. And so it basically pickles you, I think, in a way, you know?
Yeah.
Hate does.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of pickled, all that talk about Kraut got me all worked up, and the closest thing I could get to what Roger was talking about, I'm kind of chagrined to admit it, but I just asked Agnes, and she kindly complied, and I just had an absolutely scalp-burning little bowl of kimchi, just because it just the bare mention of Roger making homemade kraut just set my taste buds going wild. And so I'm all nice and burnt up now. And hey, Tim, you know what would be good? How about a kimchi omelet? Because a little bit ago, Tim was recommending just kimchi on rice.
Yeah. I was.
He may still be away.
I was eating a lot of kimchi at one time. And, you know, the cabbage with the pickled cabbage with the, you know, whatever it is.
The blazing hot chili peppers and the green onions
stuff,
and the ginger and, yeah.
All that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this stuff was nice. This was stuff I got over at the International Market in Manassas when we were in D.C., and it's been in the refrigerator all this time, but it had a nice kind of a funky little sizzle to it. Oh, yeah.
So, Bob, can I ask a question? I think I heard it asked a while back on this show. Somebody mentioned a statement about, like, drug tests, and they're basically testing for marijuana, which stays in your system for 30 days, right?
Right.
And the other thing was that, like other substances, we'll use the brown acid or other, or, you know, pharmaceuticals, which, you know, the only pharmaceutical I use is phenobarbital because I have to, but, or even cocaine. That doesn't stay in your system that long.
The one thing that stays in your system longer than anything else is cannabinoids.
Right. So basically, if you could be a coke for it, kind of quit doing it for a week or two, yeah, you stand a better chance of testing clean than if you'd smoked the joint 3 weeks before.
Yeah.
That's so ironic.
And no proof that the residual cannabinoids are in any way affecting your reflexes, your reaction times, nothing. I mean, it's probably affecting your short-term memory, but really? I mean, what were we talking about?
What did you say?
Hey, a little bit of good news. We've broken the ice on the evening's fundraising for the general evening's effort to keep everything going. Thank you very kindly to Texas Betsy. Let's see. 6491 minus 1729. You know, Luda started all this with the odd
47
number.
You're around $47, $46.
Yeah, but see, no, I have to get it right. Let's see. It's 12 minus 9 is 3. 11 minus. Carry the 19. I got 47.62. So we got $247.62 to raise this evening. Hallelujah.
No, going back to the cannabinoids, that's like the goddess of irony, just getting a little poked, or the least harmful stays in the system the longest, and, you know, you can lose your gainful employment because you take a couple of cokes, whereas if you're doing coke or I guess that goes, you know, with whatever other substance. I assume it would be with speed. I mean, methamphetamine, does that stay? What course in your speed freak? I don't know. Not that I'm planning on doing any of them. I'm too old.
I think speed leaves your system fairly quickly. I think the uppers leave your system real quickly. It's the marijuana that stays in your system. It actually gets into your hair follicles, and actually you can I think it stays there for months. So if they do a hair test, you know, you'll test positive for a lot longer than just a month or so.
Yeah. Yeah, when I worked at Adelson's Venetian couple decades ago, I had to take a hair test. I passed it because I was clean. And then I've heard, you know, they got shampoos and all that stuff. I don't know how good they work. I just never had to. You know, I kind of lay low
Well, I guess if you have to, you could just shave your head, and then you don't have to worry about hair, right?
Yeah. Shave my head, shave my arms, shave my pubes.
TMI, TMI, Jim, TMI, TMI.
Hey, Jim, were you a car dealer in Vegas when you worked there at the Phoenician?
Was I what?
Did you work as a car dealer or at a table or something?
No, I was in the stewarding department.
Okay.
Although we do have members of the Horn Family Commune congregation who work out on the floor.
Yeah. Bob, I have a couple of questions.
I'll try to answer both of them.
I sent you an article from the Guardian, from the UK Guardian, about the coal company in Wales.
Yeah.
And I sent it to your Facebook. I hope you got it.
I probably did.
Okay.
I haven't been doing a whole lot of Facebook lately. I've just been kind of busy.
Okay.
But let me just check here real quick. Maybe I can see that I.
It's all right.
See if I done did.
It was a couple days ago. I sent it to Tim and I sent it to Bob Lottie, so I know Timmy got it.
Oh, by the way, someone is trying to dial in from area code 505. I cannot take your call on that line. That's associated with the same computer Skype comes in on. I'm sorry. If you'd like to jump in on the Skype, the Horn Molloy Skype chat group there at area code 505, send a contact request to Sparky Dunk on Skype, or else when Jim is off the stress line, you can try that.
I'm wondering if that's Labor Man, but maybe. And the second question is, as an antidote to my doubt and fear, how can I avoid becoming bitter and hateful? Remember how you were saying hate, it takes over all you're talking about hate is the strongest.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
How to avoid that kind of bitterness.
It's a conscious effort. I mean, you have to get away from it. You have to distance yourself and not let yourself be immersed in that kind of negativity. Although I'm no professional.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm scanning.
Well, today's Nation. Today's Nation, I got the Nation, and it's Get Ready for Scott Walker and the Ruthless Politics of Walkerism by John Nichols. That's the major story, and then it's about the voting rights counter-revolution, and those are the two feature articles in the Nation.
I really should get a hard copy subscription, but because I enjoy it.
Yeah, but I Well, Cram was saying yesterday that. That Bernie is going to be in Portland, and they're already getting a bigger venue. I hope he comes to the Bay Area. I'm sure he will.
I'm sure it will too. I mean, even out here in Louisiana, Stan, I saw him, and he was there were 4,000 people in the arena, and that was about the max. I said it was 1 to 2,000. I'm just bad. I didn't know. Besides, I've never been to that place where it was. But it was not. It was only about 150, 200. You could have maybe fit 150, 200 more people in. without it becoming much, you know, a real fire hazard, I guess. I mean, hey, from what I understand, he's drawing big numbers. I hope somehow he can overcome Hillary, you know. Which, you know, that's his name. But if I have to take her, I'll take her.
His message is pretty much similar in all the stump speeches he's doing. But I like to watch him anyway. I'm just hoping that he'll be able to keep one step ahead of Hillary, because eventually, or one step ahead of her campaign. And I haven't heard very much about Martin Delaney or, you know, or Lincoln Chafee. I don't know where their campaigns are going at all. But I hope he can keep one step ahead of her. Because...
Well, I heard that one of them is, a year or two ago got involved with some sort of, I don't know if it was a PAC or something, but it was a business organization, I guess a PAC or something, but you know, very right-wing sounding to me. I'm not too impressed with it. I mean, it's either Bernie, it's, you know, like I said, if Hillary gets it, I'll have to go with her, but I won't be happy at all. And I don't expect, because I think we're headed for tough times. Times seem to be all right, but I think he seems like he's more aware of what's going on than the other politicians, whereas, you know, maybe I'm just idealizing him. You know, I guess I can be dangerous, but I'm just going with it.
Well, he seems he's more real. I mean, he's more down to earth and seems more authentic than Hillary.
No. Just okay. Ask a Hillary supporter. They'll tell you she's plenty authentic.
Oh, right.
Well, I mean, no, yeah. We have to guard against that, you know, making those kind of, we have to guard against bubbleism, I guess is what I'm saying, Larry. Just because this group seems to be largely oriented in favor of Bernie, does not mean that she does not have a tremendous amount of support out there. And all the polling numbers suggest that she does. I mean, this ain't a cakewalk. Bernie is still a very, very, very long shot. And I'm going to do what I can. I'll do what I can to help, and I know everybody in the Horn Family Commune congregation who's supporting him will do what they can to help. But there's, you know, we've got to be realists about this. And whereas, you know, whereas last night T-Rump made a smart-ass answer out of, will you promise not to run a third-party campaign, Bernie's already made that promise. So if Bernie's not going to run a third-party campaign, I think that's kind of a message to everybody that, you know, he doesn't want. I mean, look how his tone has remained, and how he's remained above the cesspool. He's not out there slamming Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton. He's not out there calling her names or doing any of the evil crap that the nasty, misogynistic, filthy business that the right wing does. Mm-hmm. He is desperately trying to talk about issues that desperately need to be talked about.
Yeah. Hey, Bob, am I here?
Yeah, you're there. You're there, Jason.
Hi, Jason.
Well, that's easy for Bernie because basically he's had the same message for almost 50 years now in politics.
And it just happens to jibe with a lot of us who have, I mean, I was raised by FDR Democrats, okay? This is not a new or unusual to me to hear this kind of talk from Bernie Sanders. This is, and maybe this is an age thing, and probably to an extent it is, but unless you're fairly young, if you're fairly young, maybe you don't realize it. And maybe like a lot of the young greens and stuff don't realize it,
What Bernie is talking about is what the Democratic Party used to sound like. Okay? I mean, I can't say it any more plainly.
I think you're right, Bob. I think that would be the only, that might, I mean, he's just speaking the truth as plain as he knows it. And, you know, like you say, a lot of people, I think on a lot of younger people, even people my age, they don't remember. I mean, I'm more familiar with history. I know about the New Deal getting us out of the Depression and stuff. And, you know, it's just like something that's brought up. They say World War II got us out of the Depression. Well, we were already getting out of the Depression when World War II came along. And then that did kind of help. But from then on, militarism has been a big part of the economy.
Well, the permanent post-war war footing economy and deliberate consumption and what what's the rejection or throwing off or throwing away planned obsolescence. I go back to that wonderful video, what was it called? The History of Stuff. It was a little animated piece, 5, 8, 9 minutes long, but it explained this all. But the core, you know, the core economic policies of the Democratic Party, and the four freedoms of FDR, that really is what the Democratic Party used to sound like, you know. So Bernie sounds like what the Democratic Party used to sound like in the FDR era. Hillary sounds like what the Democratic Party sounded like in 1990.
Exactly. And I don't think that's the best answer, either for the economy or the ecology, because I think we're on the brim. We might have already passed it, you know. As far as what we're doing to the ecology,
and we have to understand we have to understand that somehow better too, Jim, because if we cannot make issues of the environment relevant to people who are struggling to keep the lights on and the mortgage paid, we're doomed. Okay. And the other side is winning that battle in a big way, at least in this region, and probably down there where you are, too. Yeah. They're going to make your electric bills higher by taking away clean, coal-fired electricity. Hear it every day.
The oil down here.
Yeah.
The oil down here.
Hey, let me jump in. Laborman, Gary, jumped into the Skype chat room. I suspect that was him on the phone a few minutes ago. Are you there? Are you there, Gary?
Yeah.
Welcome aboard.
Thanks, Gary. I need some help.
Okay.
I can't get your program anymore. I switched to Windows 10, and my media player won't work. So when I click on the for Windows Media Player, it doesn't do anything. Some weird dialogue box comes up about groove music or some crap, and I'm on the outside looking in. That's the only reason I came into Skype, because it's the only way I could listen to what's going on.
Well, I'm glad you did, because if you're having that problem, that means somebody else is going to have that problem down the road as Windows 10 unfolds.
Any ideas?
Anyone? Sparky's already running on Windows 10. Sparky, anything?
I saw his comment.
I don't have any problems with it, but I don't use Windows Media Player.
Okay.
I use a VLC player.
Okay.
It's a free download. It's been my preferred player for years.
Well, let me just say this. I've always got to Bob's program by going to, you know, White Rose, and then, you know, you go down the page and you got, you know, click here for Windows Media Player, you got click here for stuff other than Windows Media Player, and then you and then down below you have the other days, the previous days programs you can listen to a replay, and I can't even get those to work. So I can't any of them, even non-Windows, where it says everything other than Windows, none of that will work either.
Have you tried going through the Horn website? I mean, granted, it's the same streams, but there's a choice for iTunes and most other media players, and then Windows Media Player. But I got
I tried all four of them, all four of those options. Different KPSs and, you know, for Windows and not for Windows. I've done all that, so I'm not sure, you know, what the problem could be. I couldn't get into the chat for a couple days, but I finally figured out how to do that. I went back.
Well, Devin is telling me, Gary, that Windows 10 eliminated Windows Media Player forever.
There's a new browser in Windows 10, and there's no Java.
I'd suggest downloading TuneIn and then get it off the TuneIn stream.
That's easy enough.
Download the free app from TuneIn and then log up, put your computer up and get TuneIn, and then it's recents and you can have favorites and all the rest of that crap and pull it off TuneIn.
Would that be live?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
My Android phone that I use out in the garden, it doesn't have a telephone attached to it, but it's an old smartphone, and I put TuneIn on it. And when I'm out working in the garden and all the rest of that, it ties into my Wi-Fi network, and I just carry it in my pocket, and I've got my radio player, and I do KTNF and WCTP and TuneIn Radio, you know, and the Horn, and depending on what time of the day I'm out working in the garden, I can pick up programs from all over the place off of TuneIn.
Yeah, and by the way, you don't have to get an app on a smartphone or anything. You can just go to TuneIn.com, Gary. And
TuneIn.com.
TuneIn.com on your browser, and just type in Bob Kincaid, and bang.
Okay.
And there's a play button.
I'll give that a try.
And it just goes.
What was it?
Transgender prostitute gets into my cab.
Wow.
Okay, cool. Can you guys hear me? I'm on a different set of headphones.
Hi, Doc.
Yeah. I do.
Bob, only in my life.
Yeah, Bob?
Yes.
How would someone like Gus Hall play out in today's political landscape?
I have no idea.
You know who I'm talking about? He's the Communist Party USA leader for a long time.
He'd probably say the same thing that the Green Party people are saying, that Bernie's a sellout and a shill and an empty suit for the wholly corrupt yada 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 Democratic Party, blah blah blah. That's my guess.
Sparky, you're scratching. It's really bad, man.
No, that wasn't Sparky, I don't think.
The thing about the Green Party
is, I'd vote for them, but they're not going to get more than 5%. That's why, I mean, if Bernie doesn't get it, I have to go with Hillary. I've done the protest vote thing, and I feel good for about 5 minutes, but then I got to deal with the consequences.
Right, because you're a grown-up living in a grown-up world. You're not a political naive. But you know, there. I mean, people vote third parties for a variety of reasons. And I'm not going to go into them. And frankly, I'm not going to criticize anybody for doing it. But
no,
you know, Dr. Bill and I had this conversation briefly on Wednesday again about the fact that because he was going over Federalist 10 and factions, and we were talking about that. And for all intents and purposes, James Madison invents the two-party system. That's what Dr. Bill said, and if Dr. Bill says it, you can go to the bank. And so the nature of the system is such that if a third party arises, it simply replaces and becomes the lesser of the two parties. The party that has become moribund gets replaced by the third party, and the best example of that is, of course, the demise of the Whigs and the rise of the Republicans. The Democrats had by far, they were by far the dominant party, but because of the ideological split between the North and the South, the Republicans were able to capitalize on that, and the Whigs went away. I mean, Lincoln was a Whig, okay? He was a Whig. But the Greens are not going to, in the modern era, the Greens are not going to replace the Democratic Party. And they're going to be what the Libertarians are, you know, a fringe element trying to influence major party policy. And, hey, Jim, if you wouldn't mind, we had somebody trying to dial into the program a minute ago.
I'll hang up.
Okay, if you'd let some, thank you. I appreciate you letting somebody else have a little time on the stress line.
No problem.
All right.
Let me get one more.
May I throw in for just a sec?
You have to. No, Roger. Wait. Roger. You got to wait. Jim's clearing the line, the stress line, and so whomever you were out in area code 916. The stress line is open for you.
Sacramento.
The stress line is open for you if you need to get in, and you are more than welcome to jump into the conversation. So it's open. It's open and clear now. Yeah, go ahead, Gary.
What was that media player he said he used?
VLC.
VLC. Okay. Where do I go to, like, VLC.com or something? Or
just type it in your search box, and it'll pop right up.
VLC. Okay, thank you,
Spike. Yeah, maybe VLC player, Gary.
VLC player.
Yeah.
I've been using VLC for about 5 years, and it's the best player out there.
Okay, thanks.
I wanted to throw this in about the discussion, including the question of Hillary. I'm so much further to the left of Hillary. Bernie's, I totally am a supporter of Bernie and absolutely love him and think he's the perfect sparkle pony, and I actually think he can win. I actually believe that he can become president. We have to believe in him, but I think if we're smart, we have to also be realistic and retain plenty of enthusiasm for the prospect of a less perfect candidate. I think that we need to reserve plenty of positive attitude towards Hillary, because she can win, and we'll be damn fools if we wind up with a John Kasich or one of those bunch. We would definitely need the instincts and also the unwillingness to get messed around with. Hillary is going to put her foot down and call a few shots in a way that Obama didn't feel free to do. So I, as strongly as I support Bernie, I think we're fools if we want perfect and won't even look at second best or fourth best if perfect doesn't work out.
Well, I've already said, Roger, that if she's the nominee, I'm going to vote for her, because I recognize that I'm voting in a two-party system. I wish it was more parliamentary in nature, because there would be somebody to vote for that would be closer to my ideological leanings. But if that's the metric, then Hillary's going to be closer to my ideological leanings than Rubio, Trump.
I do think most of us will wind up voting for Hillary if that's what it comes to. But what I'm kind of getting at is that I think we should reserve a considerable amount of enthusiasm in our attitude for the prospect of a Hillary presidency as well. We should be delighted at the prospect of having Presidents seem to be of necessity, they become war criminals shortly after they enter office. I can't think of one with the possible exception of Jimmy Carter. And that's about it, you know?
I understand what you're saying, Roger, but enthusiasm is not a spigot that I can turn on and turn off. And
yeah, okay.
I have none for a Clinton.
And frankly, getting excited of Hillary doesn't excite me. Now maybe you know, candidates change, candidates evolve, candidates metamorphosize, whatever, and maybe she will. But maybe to say that she doesn't excite me, which is I think pretty venal as it is. And I mean, I'm open to criticizing myself on this. She excites plenty of other people. There's a substantial, probably majority of half the population of this country that would like to see a woman be president of the United States. And I think more of them would like to see it be Hillary than Carly Farina.
Hell yeah.
I'm very excited about that prospect.
The one thing I learned about Hillary just the other day is her biggest donations have come from fossil fuel and Wall Street.
Bob, do you think that Cynthia McKinney would run?
To what end, Larry?
Well, she ran last time, and I've seen that there's on her Facebook page, it's like, you know, that she wants to run as an independent. And you know, I mean, I'd like to have somebody who's really progressive, pushing, you know.
Run as what, Larry? I mean, maybe the Communist Party of America will nominate her. She ain't going to be president. Jill Stein.
Okay.
I mean, I agree with a whole bunch of Jill Stein's positions. Jill Stein is not going to ever be president.
Well, I hope that Bernie can push, can influence Hillary to take some more progressive positions. I hope he can.
I hope Bernie wins.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to work, I'm going to put in my time for Bernie, but, you know, I'd like to be able to feel that, Hillary is going to address, you know, in a real way, and not only in terms of the letter of what Bernie is saying, but also the spirit of what Bernie's talking about, if she's going to be the nominee. Because if she doesn't, we're going to have more of the same DLC or Democratic Leadership Council kind of Democrat, and that doesn't seem to be terribly. And those people don't seem to be as democratic as I would like for them to be. I know we're being realists here, but it's been a long time since we've had real Democrats.
Define real. I mean, there's.
No, we got a bunch of them.
You think? No. That's that bubbleism I was warning against, Larry.
Okay.
Real Democrats, as defined by us, sure, there aren't many. But you know what? Chuck Schumer thinks he's a real Democrat, and he's a real Democrat who does whatever BB tells him to do. Hillary Clinton thinks she's a real Democrat because she's the kind of Democrat for whom Bill invented the DLC. I mean, there are middle of the road. What you want is a leftish, progressive, FDR Democrat, a social Democrat.
Yes,
but it is entirely wrong to suggest that that's the only Democrats. Those are the only Democrats we like.
We've got a bunch of them in the Congressional Progressive Caucus and the Congressional Black Caucus.
Raul Grijalva comes to mind. Keith Ellison.
That's true.
I mean, they're out there. Very few people know that the Congressional Progressive Caucus is the largest caucus in the Congress.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, Proxmire and Herbert Cole and maybe who Mondale used to Mondale used to be, and you know, back in the day, and
but it's a big country, and you still have to carry the country. I mean, I wish. But of course, the Democratic strategy is still going to be to win Washington, Oregon, and California, Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Ohio, Pennsylvania, New York, Florida, maybe Arizona, all the up east states, and let the middle of the country hang fire. You know, that's the Rahm Emanuel low hanging fruit strategy.
I'll tell you what, Larry. Whenever you get a chance, do a little research, go back in time, and look at all the House bills that got pushed through under Nancy Pelosi as Speaker of the House, and look at all that stuff we could have had, but it all died in the Senate.
Yeah.
Well, go look at the list. There was tons and tons and tons of progressive legislation, real progressive legislation that passed the House, and it all died in the Senate because of the filibuster.
Yeah, because
so they're
because,
out
because
there.
Harry because,
plenty of them.
Because Harry Reid let Mitch McConnell shove him around. Harry Reid let Mitch McConnell impose a 60-vote threshold for any single piece of legislation.
And that was that bullshit about the nuclear option crap when the Senate reconvened and they didn't rewrite the rules. Because the Democrats wanted to play nice, and the Republicans played nice and shoved it up the rectum.
Well, you know, we said this millions of times, but Boehner and McChin, and I can say Boehner and McChin, it's fine, pushed Obama around, or Obama let himself get pushed around.
I don't think anything done with the situation.
No, he's as that cabbie in Washington D.C. once told me, Larry, he's the president of the United States, not a wizard. You know, the Congress still is, you know, the Congress is still the Congress under the Constitution, the court is still the court, and the executive is still the executive. Barack Obama's doing what he can do via executive orders to try to make some of the changes that he can't get Congress to do. But executive orders go only so far because they affect only the executive branch.
Okay, well.
And you got too many people in this country that aren't paying enough attention to make something actually happen.
Yeah. I wanted to bring up something that happened earlier this week in Mississippi. The Democratic primary for governor was won by a guy who had no campaign whatsoever as far as money, as far as advertising, and he beat two of the more conventional candidates without a runoff. And something kind of stinks about that, and because Mississippi is an open primary.
Well, but it's also the fact that whatever passes for a Democratic Party in Mississippi, Haley, is near non-existent. I mean, you know how the right wing is forever, and I'm talking, I mean, the right wing. You know how they're forever talking about, and these are the preppers and the gold and the gold bugs and the hoarders and, you know, the gun goobers and what. They're all, you know, we're all going to move and build us a compound in Idaho and set up our whites only state, right? I mean, you're familiar with that. Well, do you realize the same thing works in the opposite direction? And you want to be a nominee for Congress? You want to run a campaign? You want to go knock on doors? Move to Mississippi. If you're a progressive, move to Alabama, move to Louisiana. And you can have the nomination for a damn song. In a whole variety of races. And if you have...
Oh, yeah, and it's gotten that way in Arkansas, too. But Mississippi's really fell down and it was unusual that their elections... They have their state elections, their primaries, on the year before the presidential election. And I think there was, it was, I seen what I've read, that the voter turnout was very low, and that there was, on for both parties, and the, of course, the Republican governor down there won his nomination over some guy with 92% of the vote.
Yeah. And this, you know, this all goes back to what LBJ said with the signing of the Civil Rights Act and the Voting Rights Act. We have lost the South for a generation. But it's more than a generation. Because, you know, all those 92% in that Republican, in that Republican primary, Haley, those are people whose mamas and daddies were rock solid Democrats. And then they became Reagan Democrats. And started walking around their little Klan claverns and things, saying things like, I didn't leave the Democratic Party. The Democrat Party left me.
Yeah, they're the descendants of the Ross Barnett gang down there.
And they're the ideological grandchildren of Strom Thurmond. And that was 1948, for God's sakes. So, I mean, I guess some people find it shocking. I don't.
I wasn't shocked about there being an interesting election. I was just shocked of how that particular race turned out. And it takes a lot to surprise me, but even that just blew me away.
Hey, stand by a second. Let me bring the stress line on. Is that you, Sandra? Just a minute. Wait a minute. Just a minute. There you are. Go ahead.
Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah, you're right there.
Yeah, that's Sandra.
Oh, okay.
Welcome.
Just commenting on the were you guys talking about the debate?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Well, I just thought that the whole Donald Trump thing is just kind of hilarious, because at any moment he just says, oh, listen, you motherfuckers, I funded you, suck my dick. And it's just like, I wish somebody would have just gone on their knees so we could have it real clear for everyone to see. So, you know, I appreciate Donald Trump for that, because, you know, if you're paying attention to him, they'll see exactly how corrupt this shit is. It's interesting in that regard.
Well, it was beautiful, Sandra, that he directed that specifically at Rand Paul, you know, the uncorruptible constitutionalist libertarian lover of freedom, Rand Paul. And he looked at him and said, well, I bought you.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's just, you know, so the Republicans, they brought all this on themselves, and the Democrats aren't, you know, they're not immune. I think Bernie Sanders is probably the only one that can sort of say he is not a part of that bullshit. Because everybody else, you know, Clinton is up to her eyeballs in her association with Wall Street and fossil fuel and. So... I don't know what to say about Hillary. You know, I mean, I have no problem with having a woman as president, but she is, she must be feeling the pressures. I don't know.
Yeah, and that's the other side of that coin, Sandra. I have no problem having a woman as a president. Well, no, of course not. Margaret Thatcher was a woman, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Margaret Thatcher was just horrific, but she was right about the unification of Germany. And it was a problem. So I'll give her credit for that, because, you know, Germany is, they're just becoming very problematic for the people of Europe, but that's another...
Yeah, that's probably a rock-solid 45 minutes for us some evening, Sandra.
Sandra, this is Roger in Minneapolis, and I have never had the chance to greet you,
You're one of the absolute luminaries that visits this group in my book, and I just want to say hi.
Oh, wow. I mean, that's sort of beyond and beyond. Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, you good to have you back, Sandra.
You have fans, Sandra.
Welcome back, Sandra.
Well, so tell, you know, what's going on in Sandra's world?
I don't know. You know, it's just politics are us, but nothing too super exciting.
Well, you must have loved the misogyny parade last night.
Oh, I mean, you know, I was laughing more at Carly, what's her last name?
Yeah, Farina.
Yeah, she, you know, she sort of played her hand well there, actually. So I'm sort of wondering if she's working for the vice president ticket or not, because I'm not too sure if they can just sort of ignore her. She came across as about as reasonable as you can in that clown car, because most of those white men, and I don't have nothing to say about Carson, because he's a freak. I'm so disturbed by that guy, I got to say. Wow.
Can you explain Carson, please, somebody? I don't understand his...
You want to take a run at that, Sandra? What's the appeal of Ben Carson?
Yeah, I'm not too sure what it is, because, you know, it must be weird when he was doing surgery if he was going on about God nonstop. I mean, he just seems to be really politically naive and a bit of a weirdo. I don't know, Bob. What do you think?
Well, I coined a new phrase for him the other day, the politically undereducated meat mechanic.
Well,
because apparently someone was very successful in teaching him how to do brain surgery, but maybe when you're studying how to be a brain surgeon, there's no time for actually learning political science or history or literature or English or...
I know somebody puts a lie to that.
I mean, he's a one-shot pony.
Oh no, he's terrible though. I think that's true. That, you know, maybe he's quite good at what he, you know, does as a medical professional, but he really is lacking everywhere else. And, you know, his sort of dismissal of the plight of black people, it's also just...
Well, I mean, dig it. He is retired, Sandra. He, you know, they put all the facts up last night, and he is professor emeritus of neurosurgery at Johns Hopkins. What about the rest of America? Okay, so he got to retire when he was 45 or 50. What about the rest
right.
of us? What about the rest of us? I mean, somebody was talking about a phase in of raising the Social Security age because we're living longer. I think it was Chris Christie. And I wanted to reach through the screen. It's like, you lying bastard, because American life expectancies are going down, and they're still talking this crap.
Oh, no. I mean, it's just absurd. You know, they don't... their whole line is, you know, we don't care anymore about the working class because we don't need to. I mean, I just think that if people want to preserve these programs, yeah, we're going to have to do it ourselves. I mean, because... the elites, they want it to go away. That's definitely clear. And that's the problem with Hillary. She has too many interests that want to eviscerate. And I don't know, actually, I don't know if you heard this. This whole thing with Bernie Sanders and the immigration, when he said the open borders is a Koch brother idea, boy, he didn't get enough credit for that. I just thought that was brilliant.
He got raked over the coals for it, Sandra.
That's what I'm saying. He should get credit for it. It's like, yeah, we're not in this neoliberal wonderland. I don't want this country to be having open borders. That's absurd.
Well, I mean, what country does? I mean, that's just
exactly.
one of those right wing
I don't know horror movie masturbation fantasies of theirs. There's just this river of brown people pouring across from Mexico, and Trump says they're all rapists, and oh Jesus.
No, but I mean, to have Ezra Klein sort of, you know, go after Sanders in that regard, I just thought that his response was brilliant, and obviously he don't suffer fools. So, you know, I'll give Bernie credit for that.
Oh, no. Bernie's all business. I mean, I've met the man a couple of times, and he is not going to, you know, I mean, he's going to tell you what he thinks, and he's not interested in coffee klatch conversation.
Yeah, well, I just, and it's sort of, you know, liberals need to separate themselves from Neo, because I don't know if some of them understand what the game plan is, you know?
Well, there's worldwide neoliberalism. And then there's the liberalism that's like FDR social democrat.
Mm.
And the two words I think have been deliberately mixed together.
No, it's true.
Because the other side is constantly redefining us. But I'm awful glad you called in. It's a perfect way to end Friday on the front porch. Don't be such a daggum stranger, would you?
I know. I'll try to pick it up.
Yeah, because
anyway,
you know, yeah, football season's coming.
That's everybody out there.
Yeah, football season's coming. We got to have time for some shallow, Sandra.
Oh my God, no, super shallow. God, I'm in need of that. So no, I'll catch up with you sooner than later.
All right, thanks, Sandra.
Bye.
The one and only Sandra calling from somewhere in California. Thanks to everybody who's participated in the conversation this evening. Thank you to Rick and Tracy and Larry and Roger and Haley and Jay Cruz, and thanks to Jim in Louisiana. Stan, thank you very kindly, Sparky, for hosting this evening, as you always do, the Horn Malloy Skype chat group. Thank you to Texas Betsy for taking us down to what was the number? $247.62 to go in fundraising for this evening. Thank you very kindly, and again, thanks, it leaves me near speechless. Thanks to Harold for taking a big bite out of the equipment fund this evening. Thanks, one and all, and have a wonderful evening and a great weekend. We're a little over time, but Malloy's starting just in a minute or so. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Have a great weekend, everybody.